us
Log
into
Talk
the thing.
Radio.
And let everybody know we need to be on board. Everybody needs to get in on this. Because he's sitting in that courthouse by himself. He doesn't have a friend in the world, and even if he did, what are they going to do for him? That's the question, y'all. Even if he did, what are they going to do for him? There's not enough of you. You're not organized. You are in no condition to challenge this system. Because you spent the last few years that you could have been building a following that could have challenged this system. You spent the last few years talking about building a following to challenge every female for control of sexuality. Tell me, Chris, you have gotten sex from all the women you ever wanted. Their panties are a playground. Their body a theme park. Tell me, Chris, how much good are all those females lined up to have sex with you doing you now? Tell me. Tell me how much good that's doing you. I'm going to go ahead and open the phone lines here. I won't be broadcasting quite so long tonight. I've got something that I've been working on and something I've been putting together. And I'm hoping to have that completed here very soon, so I'm probably not going to be broadcasting for very, very long tonight. I did want to say what I did have to say about that situation, though. What am I working on, you're asking? I'm working on something explosive is what I'm working on. Yes, I think that's the best way to say it. We're working on an explosive device. We're working on something like that. So I don't know at what point it's going to kaboom, but be watching. Keep your eyes open. Look out for shrapnel. And stay close to your bunkers. You never know when that's going to happen. I just wanted to go over the story really briefly here from the LA Times. Chris Brown was arrested Friday afternoon by Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputies after he allegedly violated probation related to his 2009 conviction for assaulting his then-girlfriend, Rihanna. They made sure that they gave you a whole damn rundown. Just to let you know. Oh, yes, you're a bad person. Just to let you know, we're not going to let that go. Ain't that right, OJ? We missed you, but the young ones, we can get them. Oh, wait a minute. We didn't miss you either, did we, OJ? His first offense. You ever saw anybody be in jail this long for a first offense, Mr. Simpson? Kind of wishing that you had done something other than promote your obsession into racialism. Maybe some intra power building would have been helpful, but you had better things to do. Remember? Or it goes on to say the singer was booked into jail in downtown Los Angeles, where he is being held without bond. Let me say that one more time. Related to a probation violation in 2009, he is being held in Los Angeles jail without bond. That's right. He can't leave. Doesn't matter how much money he has this time, does it? Doesn't matter how many females like him this time. Doesn't matter how many records he sold. Doesn't matter how many well-off friends he has. He's getting out. Not this time. Gotcha. They waited 5 years, kept you dangling all this time. And got you. You spent 5 years building no power for yourself, no power base for yourself, no influence for yourself, or no threat to the system. They simply waited, and now they've come to get you. And all you can do is just sit there and say, man, what do I do about this? I bet you the thought of black empowerment hasn't entered that man's mind. Not even once. And I have to tell you, that is treason on the part of his mother if she did not teach him Black empowerment to say, son, I know that chasing these girls' dolls is fun, but we got to deal with something bigger, something more adult here. Why is it that his mother, in all this time, never sat him down? She gave him the talk about the bird's knees. Did she give him the talk about the blacks and the whites? Did she tell him about that at all? This is why so many of our young men are in trouble today and our young women in trouble today, helpless, caught in the system, because nobody sits them down and says, let me tell you about the death trap that you're walking into out there. Let me tell you that you better get together with your brothers and your sisters and do what we in the previous generations failed to do. Stop talking about building black and brown coalitions and black and white coalitions. You need to build black and black coalitions. You need to have a code, and you need to stand by that code. The black men need to the black men. The black women need to stick with the black women. Black men need to stick with the black women also. Why? Because we're all we got. We're all we got. And other people distract you from that. Nobody wants to tell you that we're all we got. Nobody wants to tell you that as black people, this is all we have. They don't want to sit down and tell you that we need to build bridges with each other. You're talking about building bridges with the whole rest of the damn world out there in California. Something about being in California, you get up in California, and next thing you know, you forget that you're black until the police show up. Then you want everybody to respect your blackness. When the police show up, now all of a sudden, you're supposed to be able to just wing, whip out your black card. And everybody's going to give it credibility. What's your credentials? What were you doing before you got here? What were you saying before you got here? What were you doing? What were you doing? As I said, we may have an abbreviated broadcast tonight since I do have something else to take care of, but I wanted to make sure that I didn't go too long without holding court with my brothers and my sisters, and to remind you, in case you have gotten yourselves, that this is real. This is very, very real. Sit Chris Brown down and ask him about that. Ask him whether or not this is real now, and ask him if he thought we should be doing something else. Ask him if he thought we should have been talking about some other thing right now. And I want to tell you, in case you have gotten here, Beyonce's not immune. Yeah, I know. She tells herself that she is. She tells herself that there's no chance that this could happen to me. There's no chance at all this could happen to me. I'll be quite all right. Nothing could happen to me. I got Jay-Z. You know what, Beyonce? Whitney Houston did the same thing. Just saying. Billie Holiday said the same thing. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Nina Simone said the same thing. So you all need to be reminded of this. You need to be reminded of the situation that you're finding yourself in here. You need to be reminded of exactly what you're up against, because nobody is trying to remind you of this on a daily basis. Nobody's trying to remind you of something serious. Nobody wants to know how it is that they can make a quick buck off you. Nobody's trying to say, hey, man, we need to talk about survival here. Enough of the chit-chat. Let's talk about how we're going to live. Let's talk about what we're going to do. That's boring to most people. That's boring to them, so they don't want to hear that. They want to hear something entertaining. And that's exactly what they gave you. They gave you entertainment. They haven't given you survival. That's all. So sit, eat, drink, be merry, be entertained. Your George Zimmerman is coming. Your Michael Dunn is coming. There's a jail cell waiting for you. And even if it's not a physical jail cell, ask Chris Brown how he's been living for the last 4 years. Ask him what his life has been like for the last 4 years. Ask him. With people messing with him and everything else, and he stood up here and backed down from everybody. And if he does stand up, what's the first thing they do? Oh, he hit me. He hit me. Oh, I'm so injured, he hit me. They got you. They got you, man. They got you. You're caught in the trap now. You are caught in the trap. And there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do because the time for you to be doing something about that jail cell, Chris Brown, when your feet were on the street, that was the time for you to be plotting against that jail cell. That was the time. Not now. Not here and not now. Even until you got into a jail cell to decide you're going to plot a counteroffensive. And it's too late, brother. It's too late. Too late. Exactly what they wanted you to do. Coming up on the top of the hour here, I'll take a couple early, see if we can grab a couple of phone calls here before I head out. Caller from the 615, you're live with the Black Channel.
Hello.
Caller from 615, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. What's your name, where you come from?
This is Rain. I'm calling from Tennessee.
Black First Sister, what's on your mind?
I'm just calling because I've had an opportunity to listen to your broadcast for the past couple of weeks. I've also liked you on Facebook, and I just want to commend you for getting the information out there, being a black woman and hearing a refreshing voice on the radio. The straight information that you give is a refreshing alternative from what we've been hearing on the radio. So I definitely want to give you a shout-out about that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. There's not that many people who actually appreciate intelligent thought. They want to talk about Chris Brown, but then the first thing they want to do is bring back to Rihanna again. And I didn't do that
exactly.
The first time. I talked about it 5 years ago, and I'm not doing that now because we as black people want to sit up here and talk about fun stuff. Everybody's trying to challenge everybody on TV is what it is. And I've got an advantage because I'm not challenging anybody on television. I could care less about getting a TV show, a terrestrial radio program. I'm not interested in that. We're dying out here. We're being imprisoned out here. It's a death camp out here. And nobody wants to talk about death camp. And the few who talk about it stumble and bumble and fall over their feet because they don't have any information about it. Nothing at all. They just try to figure out how they can bring it back to black men, black women, and playing around with rappers. And I'm not doing that. I'm saying, look at this in its societal context. You all need to start being less concerned about eating candy and more concerned about the nutrients in these green vegetables. And let's talk about what the hell's going on out here, because you think of something as mundane as driving home from work. And everything is mundane, right? Everything is mundane. Until the lights pull up behind you or pull up at your house. Then all of a sudden, you realize just how much time you've whisked away. And it's too difficult to get people to talk about that. It's too difficult to get black people to sit down as adults and talk about adult things. They mock being adults. They mock talking about manhood. They mock talking about serious issues. They mock talking about economic development and building, getting together with other black people and increasing our empowerment. They mock that. They think that's something to laugh at. This is the only place that doesn't laugh at it. We are growing. here's my problem. My problem is at some point it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
At some point you just sat around twiddling your thumbs and you just continue to make it. It's the point that I'm worried about now. And the situation
I totally agree with
Nashville
you.
And Memphis is no different.
Exactly. And I tell people all the time, we like to discuss the symptoms, but we don't want to talk about the disease. We talk about the things that are happening to young black men such as Chris Brown, but we're not talking about the trap that's put in place to bring young black men to this point. I mean, Chris Brown is not the first nor the last celebrity who has hit his female companion. He is not.
Question. And you are already going to know where I go with this from the very beginning. Mel Gibson.
Sean Penn.
Now, yeah, we can go. Mel Gibson, Sean Penn, Russell Crowe, Johnny Depp. We can go down the list.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who've gotten about those, by the way. We can go down the list. And my point here is, has anybody seen Mel Gibson? Has anybody been following him around?
Mm-mm.
Has anybody been messing with him 24/7? Oh, I'm sorry, they only mess with black men. Sorry, forgot about that. Is he even still on paper about all this? Is he even still on paper about it? Don't forget, y'all, he didn't smack his woman. He busted her teeth out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you understand, that was an evil thing for him to do. You know why it was evil? Because she's a model. At least she was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, it was a very egregious thing due to a model. I'm going to bust your teeth out. Really? Really? And she wasn't swinging on him, unlike Rihanna.
Mm-hmm.
But understand something. We have been slow. We don't want to fixate on white privilege. Tell you something, Rain and everybody else out there. Do you know why Jewish people do not have to sit up and fight Nazism today? Do you know that there's not a safe haven for Nazism around the world anywhere today? You got a few people calling themselves Nazis, but there's no haven for Nazism. And you know why that is? That's because Jewish people never stop talking about it. You are never going to get Jewish people, I don't care how young they are or how old they are, you never get them to be more interested in discussing a disco or some drink than discussing Nazism. You say that word, and their ears perk up. It's like, what did you just say? Yeah, hold on, dear. I'll be right back with you. Yeah, hey, Tom. Hey, what did you just say there? What was that? Nazism. No. We can't have that. Where did you see them? Oh, they're just online. That's fine. Oh, that's great. Freedom of diary. Where did you see them? And they let you know real quick, we're not letting this go. We're not getting distracted. They marched us off to the death chambers once. We ain't going back for a second trip. And they let you know very quickly, we're not letting it go. Black people, hey, we don't even want to identify ourselves as black. Get letting it go. We don't even want to be black. We don't even want to do that.
We don't want to be black, and we don't want to be African. I actually had an argument with the person that I knew that argued me down that he was not African simply because he had never been to the continent of Africa.
Yeah, you got a bunch of people like that. They were on Tracy and Friends. There's a bunch of them like that. There's a bunch of them out there like that who talk that way. Be careful about people who use slave masters English, okay? You all need to be very, very, very careful about people who speak like white supremacists. Because you don't have to be white to be a white supremacist, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's something that misses most black people's minds. That's why George Zimmerman got past them. You don't have to be white to be a white supremacist. When you hear a black person using slave master lingo, when you see a black person who's continually and consistently using white supremacist vocabulary in reference to black people, your ears need to go up.
Mm-hmm.
Your ears need to go up. he's bought in. Like invasion of the body snatchers.
I'm suspect.
It's really
happening. I'm suspect of black people who use words like ghetto and ratchet, because to me, those words are now becoming interchangeable with black. A ghetto neighborhood is simply a black neighborhood. I don't care if the residents make $200,000 a year. If black people populate that neighborhood, it is automatically deemed ghetto. If a black woman wears the same exact outfit as a white woman, it's automatically deemed a ratchet simply by virtue of being on a black skin.
I don't think so. Now, that I disagree with you with. Ratchet is as ratchet does.
No, that's the same. That's how ghetto got started. That's how the word ghetto got started. People started saying, oh, that's ghetto. But now everything a black person does is ghetto. Everywhere a black person lives is ghetto.
Yeah, and I understand your point.
Where is that fine line? Where is that fine line? Ratchet is headed down the same path. When I get these things on my Facebook page, oh, check out this ratchet video or check out this ratchet picture, it could simply be a black woman whose makeup isn't applied properly. But that doesn't mean it's ratchet. She just doesn't know how to apply makeup.
I do understand with that. Don't get me wrong. I do understand. And I get your point. The problem is the ways that it applies. For a black person to say, I'm not African, that never applies anywhere, ever, under any circumstances. There's nobody who can act so un-African, if you will, that they stop being an African. There's nothing you can do that turns your black skin non-African. Nothing. So if you're dealing with a person who has had such a break with reality that they're fighting what they see in the mirror, stay back.
Mm-hmm.
Stay back. Don't fool with that at all. Stay back. I can understand what you're saying about going ratchet and whatnot, and talking about when the dominant culture uses those terms, but the problem is there are places that does apply. There's ghetto behavior. Ghetto is from the Jewish parts of the town. So there are places there's places where it applies the thing. I'm talking about how people start using language that does not apply to black people coming from another black person. You have taken language that you learned from a slave owner that does not apply into the situation that you're talking in. You are speaking as if you are standing not as a black person critical of black behavior, but you are standing as if you're not black at all, speaking from the eyes of slave owners.
That's because black people have been trained to see each other through white people's eyes. We have been trained to see each other through white people's eyes. Black people have been taught what to think, but not how to think. So therefore, we can't think on our own because we've never been taught that. We've always been told what to think. So if we think that a white person would look at something and say it's a certain way, we'll say it's a certain way whether we agree with it or not, because we're thinking as the oppressive culture would think.
Well, the other side of that is that we have to do that. I mean, we have had to think like them. We've had to put ourselves in their shoes and say, okay, what would I do if I were sitting in his house? Because we did that in order to anticipate how to keep ourselves from falling under wrath. The only problem is that some people didn't do it to anticipate it. Some people did it to ingratiate themselves. How can I get close to him? How can I glean power from white supremacy? You have a bunch of black people who try to get power over other people. You know, they think that if they have white friends or whatever, that they've now power over other black people. Clarence Thomas, ain't that right?
Mm-hmm.
O.J. Simpson, ain't that right? I mean, if I get enough white people around me, if I get a white wife and a white husband or whatever, now I've got power over people. No, the rest of you. I got power over you now because I got this white person sitting next to me. And this is the situation that we're sitting in. That's why he said something like that. Even though it was completely inexcusable. You never heard a Jewish person say, I'm not Jewish because I'm not from Israel.
Oh, you never hear an Asian person who's never been to Asia, I'm not an Asian person. They're never going to say
Irish,
that. We are the only people that say that. Exactly. It's about to be St. Patrick's Day. People who've never been to Ireland are going to say they're Irish. I tell people I'm an African woman, and people look at me crazy.
As people, we need to be aware of that. We need to be very,
I am an African woman, and I will be an African woman until my last day. That's not going to change. And when I tell people that, they give me the look like, no, you're an American. I'm like, no, I'm an American simply by geography. That's it. When you look at me, you see Africanoid features.
You are an African in America.
Exactly.
Just like
a kidnap on
that bed,
just for the record.
If you saw an Arab here, you would not just automatically assume that he was an American citizen.
No.
You would say, and even if he did, you'd say, well, he's an Arab in America. They call Arabs Americans. They don't call Indians Americans, not people from India. They don't call them Americans. You are just an Arab who happens to be standing on American soil.
And I must say, I'm here, not
we are Africans who happen to be standing on American soil. And once you start to see yourself that way and identify that way, you start to look at the court system differently.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to look at people who speak glowingly of the system differently also. You realize this guy is bought in. And it's important to recognize who's bought in, because they'll sell you out at the first chance he gets.
I agree.
I'll let you have a word, sister.
I just want to say keep doing what you're doing, brother.
Thank you very much for joining us. This is the BlackChannel.net radio program. I am your host, your brother, your humble servant, the Black Authority. Let's grab the phone line here. Caller from the
954.net radio. Net slash.
You're on live.
On the intelligent place for intelligent black thought.
Yes, why you're on now.
The point about Chris Brown is always in the You on the phone?
Yes,
oh,
you're
right.
On. But at least he's faint. Not that. But he's washing dishes or something. Sounds like he's working at a Chinese restaurant in the back. Funny, brother, but you didn't have to call in to do that. See if I can take one more phone call here. Caller from the 678, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Black first, brother. Long time. It's Draco Black.
Draco Black, what's on mind, black man?
Just look out into chance and listen to the broadcast, and I guess you're discussing about Chris Brown. And, you know, one thing I find very incredulous is that many people are deflecting about, you know, Rihanna this, and not that I excuse what he did or didn't do, but let's keep it real. If it was another racist man, they wouldn't bring that up. It's a hustle. We know that. And I think it's just really disrespectful when they try to use a hall well, what they try to do or not. You've already discussed it from A to Z, that they would never do that with someone else. It's not about morals or right or wrong. It's about criminalizing black men regardless.
In Hidden Colors, Dr. Phil Valentine was talking about how do you make up a system like this that talks to black people? They say, you know, they just build the jails. They have all the police out there. They make a law that makes just about anything we do illegal. And then they just go round you up. And that's exactly what we're looking at right now. This is a situation where they've made anything that you do illegal. And even if you actually are guilty, oh, that's even worse. You never hear white people crying when a black person is wrongly convicted. He's been in jail for 3 years. That's cool. That's perfectly fine. They don't have a problem with it whether you're guilty. They don't have a problem with it if you really weren't guilty. Trayvon Martin talked about that.
Yeah. the sickest thing about all this over here at TVA, as you know, I'm a pre-law student. I look at the stats. I love this stuff, this work. And even in the official textbooks in black and white, they clearly state racism is real in the injustice system. They even show by numbers that there is more black men than white men in jail. However, there is more white women than black women. Not that I want to beat up on them, but I think when you get a little better treatment than the black men, it's a little more difficult for black females to understand what we see until they get their nigga moments, of course, which is why a lot of them are trying to defend this whole Rihanna, and they're not looking at both sides of the story like she played a part in it, or the fact that you were just discussing how other people are proud. One of my instructors, he's a proud Jewish person. He's not rude or disrespectful, but he lets us know every so often, I'm a Jewish. I'm proud to be who I am. Because they know the system, and you have to make it work for you, or it's going to work against you. Unfortunately, blacks have this idiocy that the system will just magically work for you. It doesn't do that. You have to make it work for you.
And that's the reason why you have so many Jewish lawyers and Jewish law professors.
You have Asian lawyers. 21% of all lawyers are Asian. Not a lot of people know that. Asians.
I just read a thing the other day that said Alan Dershowitz is talking about anti-Semitism. I don't know exactly where it was, but he's still out there talking about that. Dershowitz now. Not a case.
Well,
just letting you know it's out there. Just letting you know.
They let you? Exactly. They're saying the tone. If any Jew were to do something stupid like try to, well, you know, you got to look at it from the Nazi side and stuff, that person's a traitor. But you, like the lady said, I think it was her, but we got too many blacks making excuses, and there's this very popular black male YouTuber named Mr. Superboy, and he's broken me down again and again that if not for these coons, these sellout people who are making it possible and giving cover, they wouldn't be able to do half the things they do with racism. That's a thing that we need to talk about more. We have too many traitors made it possible from day one from Africa. We need to talk about them more.
We need to talk about our empowerment.
Yeah,
that,
I think
that's what empowerment is. And this is what I was saying at the beginning when I said that we need a code. When you lack a code, when you lack a code of conduct and a code of ethics, this is what happens.
I'm with
this
you
is what
that.
Happens when you are totally devoid of a code. You don't have one. And instead what you wind up doing is trying to cobble together alliances based on nothing. This is what Dr. John Henry Clark, he said, that you have to see the black man sitting next to you as your best chance for survival. And we don't see that. Everybody's out for themselves. Everybody's out talking about, it's me, it's me. And when I'm
it's
saying
me,
that...
me, me, until I get trouble. The same person who tells you, oh, you're too radical, now you need to come and save me. Now I recognize racism because I am a victim. I didn't care about you, but I care about me.
Yeah, we want black society to come to the rescue. I bet you Chris Brown open for that tonight. Because you understand, if they hold him without bail, how long could a young man be sitting in there?
I'm surprised he hasn't cracked sooner. I have to give him credit for that, because this is all deliberate. Everything, what well, it is deliberate, but they really threw the book at his face. And, I mean, I'm looking at some of the things they're saying about supposedly his mother said something, and that's when he got mad, and I'm like, 5 years for this nonsense? You got white men who've murdered their wives, and they get a slap in the wrist. And this, I'm not excusing the, you know, domestic violence, but this is ridiculous.
Now, when you're black, they set him up good because being black, they didn't want him to do jail time, to be totally honest with you. Buddy, you're more powerful to us out there. Because not only are we going to do this to you, but we're going to make it look like we were lenient with you. Watch this. Okay. We arrested him good. All right. Smacked up his girlfriend. Called Diane Sawyer. Get them damn pictures up now. Can we get on his publicist on the line? Do it. All right. 3, 2, 1, 2020. Dun, 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 dun. And I looked in his eye, and he has no soul. He's like, not there, blank. Ooh. Feel like copping a plea, kid? talk to your lawyer. You're a young black male in the system. Got pictures. Don't think she's going to drop the charges. We just need to go away. Chris, take the deal. There's no jail time. Take the deal. And he's the deal. Leave him on probation. Now, that's how we really got you. Now, being a law student, you understand what probation is. Now, most people do not actually know what parole and probation is. Let me tell you all what parole and probation really are. Parole and probation are not releasing you. Parole and probation is unconfined custody.
Bingo.
And that's what most people do not know. Parole and probation are unconfined custody. You are still in the custody of the state. And just like you're subject to punishment if you don't get up out of bed at the right time or lunch or whatever, you're on the street, but if you don't abide by rules, guess what? You are in confinement. You are confined. And you're under the rules. And in his case, look how long they held him there. How the hell is anybody?
That's what I thought too. He was there longer than some people do in jail. I'm like, this is. They were dragging it on.
I mean, think about that. Think about how long this young man has had to sit there like. That's
5 years.
Party.
How
in the hell are you supposed to stay out of trouble this long? How in the hell is nothing supposed to happen to you in your life? For 5 years? Wait a minute. I'm not just the average citizen. I can't just go into a bunker. I got a major record deal. I'm recognized everywhere I go. That's what all them damn TV cameras outside for. What if somebody just takes it upon themselves to just start messing with me? Then what? And you know, the judge tells people when that happens, don't they? Will tell
well,
you,
Your Honor, I was defending myself from this crazy person. Well, sorry, but we're not looking at all the facts. You're on parole. You're on probation, and you screwed up. Now we get to throw the book in you, and we look like we were being justful.
No, you go talk to any black male who's been to court, and he'll tell you if he's been in a situation like that. I've seen it. I've seen situations where black men were in court and asked the judge, well, what if somebody comes to mess with me? And they will tell the judge tell you, you run in the other direction. Wait a minute. Hold on a damn minute. I'm a grown-ass man. I don't have the right to defend myself or protect myself. I'm supposed to just run from people. See, when you're black, they have no problem telling you that at all. I have never seen a situation where a white man was told that, ever.
White men have white men behind them. Black men have black, maybe I'll do something or talk about it on Facebook, but I really don't care about you. That's the difference.
We sit and we wait until the fire is at our house before we get up and do something about it. That's what we do. We sit and we wait until our house is burning down. Then we decide we're going to get up and do something about it. And when I'm saying that, in the case of Chris Brown, Rihanna, Fox Brown, Lauryn Hill, all the rest of them, just be honest about something here. Lauryn Hill was not this revolutionary mindset person, okay? Let me just be totally honest about that. She put her hair, quote, natural and whatnot, but let's be honest.
Amen.
All of that, we don't need any more kumbaya crap. You know, music means something, Drake. It means something.
Yep.
The type of music that you make means something. Listen here tonight, and this is going to get me into a lot of trouble with a lot of people, but damn, yeah. The only reason white people are not the world heavyweight champ in boxing is because they don't want to be.
They don't have to be.
And I'm telling you that it's because they are more programmed for a fight than we are. We just do it because we're squabbling and whatnot. And they don't have to do that. You just listen to the type of music the white kids listen to. You listen to their rock and their heavy metal. You listen to the messages. It's constant piping and programming.
I listen to that stuff. I know. I used to listen to that stuff. I still do sometimes. Metal, it makes you angry, makes you want to fight and kill. And
yes.
I used to listen to that Big Sound of the Mill even before. Hip-hop used to be like that. It used to be like the stereotypical like, you know, Mad TV, you know, oh, the black guy, he's angry and strong and tough. And now the hip-hop is, you know, do the boogie dance.
It's metrosexual stuff. That's what it is.
Exactly. There's no man
sitting around, sitting up here admiring each other's shoes, admiring each other's shirt. Don't you see how docile they've made? I'm not talking about being violent either. What I'm saying is that
thank you, single mothers.
Think about the words mosh pit.
I've seen that. They get frightened, they get crazy, they get psycho, boom, boom, boom. It's a war training. All this stuff with MMA and all this stuff, got into martial arts. It's a Spartan program. They keep throwing that word around. It's not for nothing.
I'm very glad you said that like that, because that's what I was thinking. I wasn't going to go there just yet, but that's war training.
You know
exactly
me.
They are programming them and keeping them prepped and prepared to go to war. That's what they're doing. Everybody is being trained and prepped and prepared to go to war. And as black people, we're not understanding that. We haven't taken a peek behind the curtain. Turn on your local rock station and hear what they're telling these children, what they're telling these teens, hear what they're telling men. You know, groups like, I'm not even going to talk about the heavy stuff, okay? I'm not going to talk about heavy stuff like, you know, I'm trying to think here, Sepultura, or, not Cavalera Conspiracy, basically, or something super heavy like that. I'm not going to get into something like Hatebreed. You all should go look up Hatebreed, by the way. But something a little less docile, a little more docile, like Hurt, 10 Ton Brick. You know, that music can't hear that constant electric guitar kicking your ass without it stimulating something on a more animated level for you. You can't do that. And what I'm saying is that for black males, we went from Straight Outta Compton, which was nothing but war drums, by the way. We went Straight Outta Compton to this music now, which doesn't even have snare drum in it. It's just this constant bass drum that's just lulling you down, dulling you down, past the blunt. This white kid has been over here 10-ton bricking. This 10-ton brick is making me sick. And the black kids are over here, yellow malt liquor, yellow flower slipping livery, yellow Lamborghini. I don't even know the words to it. I do know that I was like, Chris, this is what you decide to do when you come out of jail, son. This is really it? This is what you were thinking? This is the best you thought you could do? I sat there and I heard that and I was like, you know, just think about that. Or have you ever heard Michael Jackson's Leave Me Alone? It's not a docile song. Earth, Wind, and Fire, System of Survival. You all need to go and hear that, especially you young people. That was back in 81, when Reagan first came to office. Back around then, about between 1980 and 1983, if we're going to get technical about it. Somewhere around there, Earth, Wind, and Fire put out that song, System of Survival. The human race is running over me. I work a job from 9 to 5 just trying to make a living. The plastic face. Satellite TV, talking about giving, he's taking and I'm giving. That's why I dance. It's my system of survival. But at the beginning of the song, they play Ronald Reagan about how everything's going to be all right. When was the last time that a rapper tried to tell you about what's going on in that White House? Oh, yeah. The last time I remember that was Jadakiss.
Oh, probably killing Mike close as well, too.
You know what? That's what I'm saying, but those are not the big guys, though.
Yeah, you're right
about Killer Mike. You're absolutely right about him, and that guy's phenomenal. I put his video up, and you know me. I put videos up. I put his up. I was like, this guy is this is what we're supposed to be doing. Question, when was the last time you heard Chris Brown talk about something like that? Oh, sorry, Chris Brown doesn't. He's too busy trying to find the nicest pair of breasts and snuggle up to. Hey, Chris, hope you got it all out of
you. That's what the women want.
Not
the women want a crooner.
The biggest chest is going to be next to you. Don't be this fellow next to him. That's the biggest one you're going to be next to for a while. And the question is, brother, was it worth it? Was it worth it? It's too hard to get black men to concentrate and gravitate to and stick with something adult. We don't want to do that. You know this, girls, when you were in middle school, that should tell you how basic and rudimentary this is. You ain't moved past that yet. You're 25. You're 28. You're 35. You're 38. And you're still gauging yourself by females. Broadcast does not talk about females very often. You know why? Because that's not leadership. And that's not our biggest problem. The single mother thing is definitely an issue, yes, but as far as get females into bed and how you get along with them, I'm a firm believer that males and females will figure out a way to get along. I need to teach you how to deal with what's happening out here on the street. And we have an aversion to that. Talking about adult things, black males run from that. And I'm saying it's time for us to stop running. It's time for us to stop running. We've gotten so used to doing that now we're in a point in the situation where we don't even dare to discuss adulthood. We don't even have a desire to do that. And what I'm telling you all is that Chris Brown is illustrative of every black male out there, including me. Chris is just the one they got. The rest of us, we're the one they want. If they had their way, and I'm just going to say this just like it is, if the dominant society had their way, white males would be born with one sheet of paper, a birth certificate, and your probation papers. So they can just have you walking around in the society and whenever they want to come get you, they come get you, and they can decide how severe they want to punish you all the way around. And if we as black men were serious, that's the lens through which we would be looking at these things, if we were serious. But why? Outside of this place, they do not discuss this kind of thing long form. Nobody discusses this kind of thing long form, not outside here. This is the only place to actually talk about it. And I'd like to welcome everyone here tonight. If you've been tired of people speaking to you in a simplistic, elementary style, if you're tired of people who are not actually talking about something substantive, something adult, if you're sick of gossip, if you're sick of entertainment, and you're ready for some enlightenment and some empowerment, because you looked out there on those streets and you see what the hell is happening and you're sick of people ignoring it, then you found kindred souls and come to the right place. But if you're still playing around, if you still have an appetite and taste for people telling you scintillating things in your ear, if you're still waiting for somebody to crack the next joke, and you're still waiting for somebody to sit up here and start talking about your favorite rappers. Every morning show, black people dominate the morning shows in America. Tell you all what I mean by laughing. Black people dominate the morning shows in America. We've been laughing since Tom Joyner. And before that, to be totally honest. We've been laughing since then. And I want to ask you, for all that laughing we've been doing and chucking and jiving, all these cruise ships they line up, all these celebrity cruises, and all that crap, somebody tell me, what do we as a people have to show for all of that? Tell me, what do we have to show for all of it? You got all these trinkets and all these toys, your celebrity friends and this, that, and the other. Somebody tell me, what do we have to show for all of that? Because I can't see one thing that we've got to show for it. Nowhere. And everybody wants to, they want to change gears. They want to change gears when Bull Connor shows up. Well, Bull Connor didn't just wake up one morning and decide he's coming for you. Bull Connor's been after you his whole life. And you're sitting up here just trying to cobble together a counter strategy now? You want to try to piece together a counter strategy today? This man has been chasing you for decades. And you saw him, and you said, well, he got somebody else. He didn't get me. Bull didn't go off for the rest of you that, hey, we better get serious. You see what Bull just did over there? Yeah, he did that to Dwayne, but tomorrow it'll be one of us. We got to take care of that. We got to deal with that, man. We can't just let him keep running around here. We got to deal with that. I'm trying to get black men to gain appetite for survival, for building, for empowerment. Because we don't, as I said, there's a jail cell waiting for you. Or probation papers and parole papers waiting for you. You might have a white guy standing next to you when you get yours. You might. But I promise you, whatever number it says on his paper, for how long he's going to be on it, I promise you, your number will be much, much longer. Take another phone call here. 951, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Oh, no, Jason, I took myself out the queue. This is Mona. I'm just listening.
Thank you very much. They were supposed to have rectified that, what they were supposed to have done. Like I say, it kind of had that same ring to it, though, whenever Comcast says they're going to fix this or that. It kind of has that same ring to it. We're very sorry, Mr. Jack. We'll get on that. I'm sitting there saying, wow, you know, that sounds just like the guys at Comcast. I mean, matter of fact, you sound like the fella I talked to at Comcast, who you sounded like. A lot of people have said to me that I need to change my style on things. Since day one, as a matter of fact, since day one, people have been trying to get me to change my style. They've been trying to get me to change my delivery, change the way in which I handle calls, and change the way in which I handle subjects. They say, man, he's really informative, but he just rolls so hard, it's difficult for me to listen to. And that's because you want somebody to entertain you. You want somebody to be entertaining to you because you find adulthood hard. I'm probably going to wrap up here very shortly, but I'll give one person here in just a couple of minutes because I have a few things to say. But if you want to be heard, I'll probably pick a new call instead of ones that have been sitting. The number, of course, is 646-787-1933. For those of you who are going to be listening to it recorded, 646-787-1933. Is the access code to the blackest radio program in existence, the only kind of day on planet Earth today, the only place for intelligent black people to sit together and discuss the information that we need to know, because the rest of the media is not doing that with you. Everybody out there is trying to say things in such a way that they think they're going to keep you entertained and keep you happy. Person, the only person who is going to tell you that I don't give a damn if you like it or if you don't. I'm the only person who's ever said that and says it on a regular basis. You want to know why it took all this time? You know, I mean, yeah, I've had high view count before, okay? Yeah, okay, fine. All right, you've had national radio program call you. That's fine. I don't worry about that. I didn't go on there because I didn't want the masses. I wanted word out. I wanted people to talk to each other. I want you to hear it straight, no chaser. And let's see what you're about. This broadcast is not a place where we come to find out about me. It's a place where we come to find out about you. It's not about one man. Other people want to talk about it's about me. I, me, they. Oprah never gets tired of telling you about herself. Tyler Perry never gets tired of telling you about themselves. This place, the Black Channel, is not about me. It's about you. It's about what you're going to do with what you know now. It's about you. And everything that you learn here and everything that you pick up and take away from it, it's about you now. That's why I don't water it down. That's why I don't change it. And if Chris Brown had a black man in his life who told him what I just said straight out like that, would Chris and the rest of his brothers be in the situation that they're in? Case in point, y'all, Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne. Kendrick Lamar, they're waiting for you too, brother. They're waiting for you too. Let's just catch him in the right place at the right time. We're waiting on you too, brother. Waiting on you. I haven't changed my delivery on this, and I never will, because I'm not trying to attract the masses. I'm trying to attract a select few who are actually going to act on what they're hearing. That's what I'm trying to do. Everybody else is trying to figure out a way to be entertained, and that's not me. That's why my delivery of it isn't going to alter. Caller from the 704, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Yes, I just want to make a little rant about people that work really hard to get their money while other people just sit around.
What's your name? Where you calling from?
Charlotte, North Carolina. My name is Scale Washington.
Hello to Washington. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, I just want to make a little rant about people that work hard for their money, you know, all year round, you know, and just people just sitting around, you know, black and white people do it too, you know, and just collect welfare. A report came out, I forgot where I seen it at, where people on welfare make like $60,000 a year, you know? So it's just crazy that somebody that just got to work hard and try to get to the next level, you know, do all the things that we told to do, you know, go to school and things like that, and go through the struggle, while other people just are content with staying in the projects, you know. So I would never want to be in that place, though, staying in the projects and collecting welfare. So to everybody that's working hard, keep on doing your thing, and stay positive and keep God first. So I just wanted to tell y'all
Let me find out,
you know.
Let me find out a couple things here if I can. How old are you, bro?
Okay. I'm 33.
Okay, 33, so... Mm-hmm. How long have you been in Charlotte?
Well, my mother moved us down here in about 93, so I've been here about 20 years maybe.
Okay. Have you seen the situation there change for the better, for the worse, or just stay the same?
Well, it's been really good the last 5 years. I mean, I ain't had my father in my life for a while. And, you know, I was talking to my brother today, actually, and we was talking about that. And, you know, it kind of hurt us, you know, because he didn't show us finances and he didn't show us, you know, the right way to go and things like that. But, you know, we went through the struggle. We got through it. And, you know, even though we kind of struggling now, we getting through it. You know, I got my own apartment. My brother got his own house and things like that. So, I mean, it's just a lot that we're going through, you know, mentally and stuff like that, or what we went through when we was younger, but we getting through it, you know, by the grace of God and, you know, just talking and things like that. Go ahead.
Now, how long have you been a listener to this broadcast?
I've been listening to you for about a month. I just shared your link on my business page on local on Facebook called Local Heights. So, yeah, I've been listening to you for a minute.
So you're obviously not new to the idea of black empowerment. When did you first start getting interested in that?
Black empowerment, I've been listening to a lot of the YouTube videos from different people as yourself. I can't think of everybody right now, but with the tattoos, the list goes. It's a lot of good brothers on YouTube that I like listening to. You know, non-Christians, Christians, Muslims. I like listening to all of y'all, man. All of y'all got knowledge, and I take some in, and then some out,
Do any of them go into detail like we do here? Because there are a lot of people who throw out a lot of good topics or whatever, but do any of them actually go into detail like we do here?
Yeah, you're hitting. Yeah, you get straight to the point. You might, piss some people off, but, this is what they need, Some people, they react, to your kind of style, and they get mad at it. But you kind of need that father figure, somebody telling you, from your point of view, because a lot of us brothers, we didn't get that,
I want to give an analogy.
And,
okay.
Go ahead.
I'll give an analogy on that. If you had a football team of slackers, baby mamas, ex-drug heads, you get the idea. You decided you're going to change out the front office and we're going to get this damn team in shape. My question is, use the condition that black society is in. Black society is not doing well, but can be doing better. We're doing horrible. We're not behind everybody because everybody else is so great and we're just not doing as well. We're going backward. We are the worst damn team in the league. And because we suck, not because we try hard, but we suck. We ain't even trying. What are you doing in that situation there?
I say this, not meaning to cut you off, but I think it's just not black people. I mean, yeah, you can, break it down
okay,
like you just
you
did.
Said before, you said that before, okay? You said it's not just black folk, it's white folk too. Here's the problem, brother. I want you to divorce yourself.
Right, exactly.
I want you to divorce yourself from that little response, okay? Because here's the problem. The problem is we're not white. You see, white men have 3, 4, 5 times the wealth that you do. They have 3 times the income, 10 times the wealth that you do. In other words, he can afford to screw up more. Black people have 0.5% of the world's wealth. The rest of the world can afford to screw up. They can afford it. We have been here 500 years. Free 160, and what do we have to show for? So what I'm saying is that it's not everybody. Everybody does not have the incarceration rate that we do. Everybody does not have, damn sure doesn't have the poverty rate that we do. Everybody does not have the illiteracy rate we do. Everybody does not have the government assistance and subsistence and dependency rate that we do. Everybody doesn't have the drug issue that we do. So it's not everybody. And here's the other thing. The thing is, we ain't white. We're black.
Right. I mean, you're right about that.
Let white folk, even if we were at the top of the food chain, we still need to talk about this. Let white people deal with white people's problem. And let Asians deal with Asian people's problem. Let brown people deal with brown people's problem. And let black people deal with black people's problem. But we're not going to fix anything if every time we start talking about the issue is we jump up and say, well, there's other people doing it too, because what you're really saying is it's not that bad. It's not bad. Chris Brown believed that white supremacy was that bad. He's got plenty of white fans sitting in that jail cell in L.A. tonight. Do you think he believes white supremacy is a problem?
Right. But, I mean,
what's that song, No BS? Yeah, Chris is going to come out with a whole new
I don't listen to Chris Brown. Right.
That's
but,
fine, but I'm
saying would say this.
That's
I think
top his mind when he gets out.
I think that black people, I mean, the picture that you're painting is, it's It's really bad, but I think there's a lot of us that are doing good, you know? I think, you know, first black president, I mean, from the 60s, our spending power, where when you go out, there was CIAA here in North Carolina and Charlotte. I mean, people were spending like crazy, you know? So there's, I mean, and one thing that you're saying is true, but there are a lot of people that's doing good, you know? So, I mean, you got to talk about the good more than the bad, you know, to lift our people up.
Brother, here's the problem. I mean, what you're saying sounds wonderful in an ideal text. It sounds fabulous in an ideal world. In the one we're in, the problem is what you're saying, you're citing the exceptions to the rule. Will you please show me one, just one, whether it's in Charlotte, California, or the moon? To back up what you just said, show me one, because you said there's a lot of folk doing good out here. Show me one black neighborhood anywhere in America or anywhere on earth where housing values are higher than their white neighbors in the same city. Just one.
Well, I don't have, you know, the information or
okay.
stuff like that.
Like
I will
to
have
take,
to
okay,
search
I got
on the internet.
I got the information. You want to take a guess?
Are you saying there's none at all? I mean, are you saying there's none at all? A black neighborhood that's thriving, you know, especially the numbers. How about a black neighborhood that's thriving?
Okay. Now,
you know?
Now you did a very good thing right there. You did a very good thing. And a lot of people might have missed it. Did you all notice how he turned there? Now, I'm not putting on you. I'm just saying, did you all notice how he turned?
Right.
Dr. Claude Anderson said that we don't have one black community, not one black community in America. He said a community is where you have your businesses, where you take care of your people. Mm-hmm. A neighborhood is where you mm-hmm. eat and where you sleep. Holiday Inn is a mm-hmm. neighborhood. And he's absolutely right. And he said neighborhood, and that's exactly the term to use, where you eat
right.
and where you sleep. Now, there's a report that came out 5 or 6 years ago that said Queens, but then again, mostly – the area in Queens that they're referring to, not my callers from New York causing trouble we're talking about, the area in Queens that they were talking about, however, is highly dominated by black people who didn't come from America. That's the first thing that people need to be aware of. It's highly dominated by black people who come from America. And that was pretty much it. Here's the problem. You have 50 states. Black people live in all 50 of them, some less others. We live all 50 of them. Why is it that all you can do is pick out one? How do your people survive when you got 50 states and only one neighborhood where you all got something semi going on, and even Queens is completely dependent? Those are just employees, employers. That's not just CEOs there. You've got one middle-class black in America is not totally thrown the hell off. Just one.
Right. Right. Well,
how do you survive when you got just one?
Well, one to start 100, 100 to start 1,000, 1,000 to start 1,000,000. You know, I mean,
okay,
we just got out the 60s.
Ago. That was 5 years ago.
I was just watching this Joe Lewis. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That was 5 years ago. Tell me when we ever going to kick off this 100 you were talking about.
We're going to do it. I believe we're going to do it. We just got out the 60s. That was, what, 60 years ago?
We just got out.
We just got.
Brother, it's 2014.
But 40 years, I mean, time flies by. You know, a lot of stuff happens. I mean, I got faith that, you know, we're going to get better, and we are getting better. There's black people graduating at a high rate. I mean, I just watched this Joe Lewis documentary, you know? I mean, we was in a bad condition. And, you know, before that, you know, the slave.
Joe Lewis.
We was just in the back in the, yeah, Joe Lewis, the boxer. Joe Lewis. Yeah, I just watched the documentary.
I know exactly who Joe Lewis is. I'm trying to get you to understand something. Joe Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
Are you hearing yourself? Okay.
I'm trying to.
Yeah, that's about to say the light. Oh, wait. Yeah. Do you understand what you're doing? Do you see what you're actually doing now? Joe Lewis.
Joe Lewis.
Okay, but what you're saying...
I want people to look him up, too, so that y'all know y'all history.
But do you know what the problem is? The problem is the only examples that you really point to are behind us. You can't point to anything
right.
that we're doing right now, monumental right now. And Joe Lewis was just a box. That was not some societal movement. Show me the societal...
I mean, he made a difference. He made a difference. And what we trying to get... What I'm trying to get to is that, you know, we had to break down barriers to get where we at. There was a lot of psychological problems that the black man had to go through. You know,
okay,
especially in the 80s with during the crack.
Okay, let me ask you a question here. You said we had to break down a lot of barriers. Please explain
right.
to me what those barriers were.
Well, first of all, to be treated like a human, you know, to be – well, we still ain't treated, you know – that's the discussion we having, but to be treated like a human being. You know, we was treated less than. You know, we was slaves. We was actual slaves for a while.
Okay, so you're
you know,
saying
the civil rights,
over- you
know, the civil rights
over-
movement.
Okay, are you saying we had to overcome slavery then?
Yeah, we had to overcome racism.
So
right.
it was,
we
okay,
had-
so it was 6 years from slavery to Joe Lewis.
Well, after Joe Lewis, no, that was during the 30s, and then, you know, Muhammad Ali and them came back. I mean, came after him, and, you know, he was kind of, you know, because they raised him, you know, psychologically to be like a white man, you know? And so when Muhammad Ali and them came, they was like, forget that. You know, we standing up. We're not
okay.
we're going to be, you
listen
know, we're going
to
show black power.
Okay, listen to what you're saying. Listen to what you're saying. I'm trying to get you to hear yourself for just a moment because the light bulb's going to go on here any minute now. I can't wait for it. I want you to listen.
Okay.
To what, I want you to
okay.
listen to what you're saying now. Now, from slavery to Joe Lewis was 60 years. And from Joe Lewis to Muhammad Ali was another 20 years, roughly.
Right, right.
I'm trying to get
the light bulb's going off right now. Well, I hope it's, you know, you can... See, what
I'm trying to get you to understand
okay.
what I'm saying here, though. Listen to all
okay.
of the people that you're pointing out is my point. All the people that you're pointing
okay.
out, they were all a long time ago. That's the first thing. Second thing is,
mm-hmm.
did you understand what you said before about we had to break down barriers? I need you to understand
mm-hmm.
something. Black people do not make progress in the world as a people because we do not understand what racism economics, politics, socialism, and progress are. We actually know what those are. We think we do. We think that prejudice is racism, and it's not. We think that voting is politics, and it's not. We think that unity is socialism, and it's not. And we think that being able to shop any store we want to go into is progress. And it's not. And for everybody around the world who is listening, when was the last time that you heard somebody go through all four of those terms and tell you that that's not it? The four terms I just used come back to all the time, and nobody's getting it right. And that's why we can't progress as a people. You said that we have to break down barriers. We think we know what barriers are, and we don't. Brother, what is the purpose of a barrier? You think that the purpose of a barrier is to keep something out. And you know what? Right. But a barrier serves a dual purpose. It also keeps something in. It protect. Now,
right.
people try to put you into
well,
something.
Well, when I was saying barriers, what I meant by barriers was laws.
You
got to
stop for just a moment, okay? You have to stop for just
okay.
a moment. Okay.
All right.
Because we've heard what we had to say here. It's time to get some correct information now.
Right.
You said we had to break down the barriers, and what I'm trying to tell you is we did not. That's what I'm trying to tell you. No, we didn't. All those events that you named, most of them happened before desegregation. Black Wall Street was in the middle of Jim Crow. Joe Lewis, the middle of Jim Crow and segregation. Muhammad Ali. The middle of Jim Crow, well, the end of Jim Crow. if we want to say that it had been, because it actually is still continuing today, if we want to be technical about it.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm telling you is that the periods of time where we made our greatest economic progress from the end of slavery until 1965, those were all of that happened under segregation. All of that happened because of those barriers. We were forced to practice group economics. We were forced to practice community. We were forced to have a code. So that situation, those barriers you refer to, actually what created all those good situations and all those overcome situations that you're referring to. We did not need and integrate or to become the world champion. We already had had Jack Johnson. We already
Joe
Louis was not the first man to be knocking the hell out of white men. Jack Johnson. What do we have to show for Jack Johnson other than a bunch of old Cadillac Eldorados? What do we have to show for him? He loved his white women and he loved his cause. Somebody tell me how much empowerment we got from Jack Johnson. Hell, show me how much we got from Joe Louis. Brother, that was not a social movement. That was one person. And we as black people keep mistaking the progress, or should I say the good fortune or the accomplishments of one person to somehow be representative of all of us. And I'm telling you, it's not the way it works. So in reality, what you think was our time at being at our weakest was actually our time at our strongest. Case in point, you can go to any Chinatown in this country, and they put up the barriers there. They want a barrier between you and between them because they want to protect their community. They don't want integration. They want empowerment.
I think that's where my struggle is, because I feel like, you know, especially with all the slaves movie and history, I'm a history fanatic. I feel like, you know, the way we was treated back then, I would never want to, you know, go through what our ancestors went through back then. You know, the Joe Louis's, and, you know, even though they built a community, what you refer to, Black Wall Street, you know, they still, under law, you know, they ain't have rights. You know, they had to do that. So it's kind of, that's what I struggle with. You know, like, they had to stand up. Yeah, they built it up.
That's the other side of it, though. You said they didn't have rights. Please tell me what rights they did have.
I mean, you know, the laws back then. When was Black Wall Street? I mean, it was before the Civil Rights Act was passed and things like that. So I'm thinking, you know, they just didn't have, you know, the same rights as a white person.
The first thing is, when you ask about Black Wall Street, the first thing you have to ask, which one? That's the first thing I want you to go look into. Okay. There was more than Black.
Okay.
There was more than one Black Wall Street. We all know not the one in Oklahoma. We all know not Tulsa.
The one that got blown up. Both of them got blown up?
It was more than just both of them. There were more than just two. Your homework assignment after this broadcast is to go and investigate Black Wall Street and keep looking until you find all of them.
Wow,
that's a good
homework assignment.
Somebody in the chat room said North Carolina. There was more than just Wilmington. This is what they call, for all the people out there wondering, this is why they call me the authority. There was more than just Tulsa, Greenwood, Ultra, and Pine, and there was more than just Wilmington. Me and Dr. Tamar Johnson talked about that. I might put it in the documentary, I know. There was more than just Wilmington and Tulsa. There's a reason why I'm not running down the list for y'all. There's a reason. You didn't hear any
Tulsa,
keys.
That's the one.
Wait a minute, but you didn't hear any keys over here, Tatton, though. So you know I didn't look it up right now. So if I sit up here and tell you that I know Tulsa and I know Wilmington, who else could have named them all for you like that? Who else could have named? I was about to go into a third one here, but I want you to keep looking. Sit there in the chat room. Okay, are y'all going to be the authority now? It's a good thing I don't have an ego. It's a good thing I don't have an ego to inflate or offend. Y'all going to sit up and just name off all of them. He's going to be coming back next week. Yeah, I know about Rosalind, too. Oh, this is what I'm against. I start educating them, and they take the microphone from me. Here, let me tell you. This is why we're having the most intelligent audience that has ever touched the Internet, period. End of discussion, bar none. This is why we are serious about what we do. Your homework assignment is to go look into all of them. There's more than just three, Dodd. There's more than just three. And I want you to
No doubt. I will do that.
I want you to go look into them. But after that, I want you to start understanding a new term. You have repeated what your parents taught you. Your parents taught you that you do not have power if there is not a white person next to you, or if you cannot compare yourself. There must be some type of direct correlation between me and a white person. Without that, there is no power. Your parents taught you. I'm telling you, it's time to divorce yourself from that. It's time. Stop worrying about integration. Stop worrying about the definition that the state did this and the state did that. Understand something. There was one thing that they were missing in Tulsa and Wilmington, their own protection.
Okay,
Can I ask you a question? Yes, in just a moment. The ability and the right to protect your life is not something that you ask a government for. Damn sure not something you ask Bull Connor for. The right to protect your life is God-given. You have that when you were born at birth. And nobody, no one, has the right to supersede that. No one. You do not another man the right to survive. Never. You never beg him for the right to exist. You want to march in here with your troops and planes or whatever? I'll ask you all a question here. Because you all watch 300 and you love watching 300. That's your door doing. You love seeing white men show you their principles. Got a question for all y'all out there. Got a question for you. Or Wilmington had done a 300. Where would we all be today as black people in America if they had done a 300 in Wilmington? Where would we be? Where would we be if in Wilmington black people had said, we're not coming out? You want to take our guns from our cold, dead hands? Come get them. What if black people in Wilmington, if just Wilmington had done that, and if we didn't wait for Watts and wait for Huffington and wait for St. Louis, if we didn't wait for those places decades later, disorganized, if we didn't wait for Los Angeles, if we had done, you love watching 300, if we had done a 300 in Wilmington, in Tulsa, in Rosewood, in Watts, where would we be today? If we had shown back then, you have come this far and no farther, no more. It ends here. One way or another, we're coming out with our shields or we're coming out on them. But you're not doing this to us anymore. Where would we be today? What would their estimation and their thoughts of us be today? You wouldn't have needed a Civil Rights Act. And you would have police gunning you down today with your Civil Rights Act, by the way. You got your Civil Rights Act, and police never stopped gunning down. And the private citizens never stopped gunning you down. Ain't that right, George Zimmerman? They never stopped gunning you down. So much for our Civil Rights Act. You had a question.
Yeah, well, if you're not for integration and things like that, you know, because it's going to turn like that regardless. I mean, I work in a high school, and I see black and white, Mexicans, I mean, people yelling the N-word and calling each other all kinds of stuff back and forth, and they joke and laugh about it. I mean, it's just going to be a different world in the next 10 years, you know? That's just how it's going to be.
No, it's not. The world for black people has always been the same. It's not going to change.
No, I'm talking about black and white people coming together. It's more interracial couples. I mean, just not black and white, black and Spanish, and it's just going to change. You know, that's just how it's turning out. I mean, I see it in the high school. They set the trends, and that's what I see. But, you know, my thing, if you ain't for the interracial thing, you know, then you're saying black people, we in this condition. Well, then, you know, how are we going to get out of it if we keep on talking down on our own color, on our own race, you know, saying that we ain't doing this, we doing that, we ain't doing the right thing. But to me, I think we are. I think we are progressive. I mean, what we see on World Star Hip Hop, that's not the whole culture.
That's
I
not
go to
World
school,
Star
I see
Hip-Hop.
A lot of
World Star Hip Hop is not a problem. That school you're at is the problem. And every single black-dominated majority black neighborhood in America, that's the problem. It's not a website, sir. The website is reflecting the reality of what's on the street. It's not a website that's giving an impression and perception. This is not about perception. This is about what we can see happening right out here on the streets in front of us. The websites are just reflecting it. Maybe they're echoing
right,
it.
Right, but that's, to
but
me, that's not every
us.
Street. I mean,
okay.
these kids are living good now. In my opinion,
well,
you know,
okay.
I mean,
you call this good. Why do you say they're living good? And I'm going back to what you said earlier. But why do you say they're living good?
I mean,
good?
Trayvon Martin, wasn't he in the gated community in the house? You know, I mean, these kids are living good. They just spoiled.
Okay. He was in a gated community in a house. And you call that living good? He died.
I mean.
Excuse me. He died with his expensive sneakers. And his fancy sweater, and his iced tea,
mm-hmm.
and skills in a gated community. So
right, in a gated community,
good,
crazy.
Okay, so what you're saying is that the good life is having the right to get gunned down by white people in a gated community, as opposed to get gunned down in Bedford-Stuyvesant.
No, I'm saying it's all the same, but I'm saying that the way we was conditioned back in the day, it was worse.
Let me ask you something here. Can you, by yourself, can you envision a world where black people are running their own affairs, where all the school
mm-hmm.
teachers, all doctors, all the lawyers, all the coaches, where everybody is a completely black society from the top to the bottom? That the schools are top-notch and excellent, the girls are nice and honorable, the men are intelligent and well-to-do. Can you envision that type of world? 100% black with no non-black people around whatsoever. Can you envision that?
No.
So you cannot see a world. You do not see a world of complete and total absolute black empowerment.
Absolutely not. I see different colors. I don't see color. I just wasn't raised like that. You know, I mean, I know the black struggle. I know racism exists. I'm not going to have nobody disrespect me. And I'm dark-skinned. You know what I mean? I'm just not raised like that. You know, I'm raised that, you know, treat everybody equal. And, you know, give respect to those that give respect to you. You know, I just don't see color. But I understand that it exists, you know. So that's how I see it. And I'm for black empowerment. I listen to you, of course, you know, so I'm for that.
How can you be empowerment? How can you say you're for black empowerment and you cannot see a world of black empowerment? How can you say you're for it but you can't see it?
Because it's just not us on this planet. It's just not us. You know, it's different people that we got to coincide with. You know, it's just not us on this planet. You know? So, you know, I'm just not, you know, just, I want us to elevate, and I want us to do good. I want us to mentor. I want us to go in the community and help and everything. But, you know, it's just not us here. You know?
Well,
you're not going to be a better.
We're not talking about the planet. We're not talking about the planet. Let me ask you a question, brother. Just a question. Well, two questions.
Okay.
Are people in Chinatown, in California, doing better than black folk are in California?
Black people in California probably got some money. You
okay.
know, it depends. Who's in Cali? Is P. Diddy in Cali?
No, it doesn't end.
Go ahead.
No, you go take a look at Chinatown, what's going on there, and then go to your nearest black neighborhood. It's night and day. It's night and day. And everybody in California right now is sitting here saying, come on, man, don't try that. It's night and day. Philadelphia, same thing. What's going on with Chinatown in Philadelphia? It's night and day difference from the west side of Philadelphia or the north side of Philadelphia, by the way. That side is hell, y'all. It's a big difference between the north side of Philadelphia and Chinatown in Philadelphia. I know. I have to both. What I'm telling you is that as a person who has observed this firsthand, not what somebody told me, what I lived, what I witnessed. Last question. They're doing better than blacks are in any kind of town you go to, in any black city. Question. How many black people live in Chinatown?
How many what? Black people live in Chinatown?
Yes. How many black people live in Chinatown, do you think?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. Probably, I don't know. The world is different now. When I was, you know, living in New York, you know, it was just Chinese, but it was black and white people visiting. You know, I don't know.
Okay, I didn't
you know,
say
it's hard to say.
I didn't say visiting. I didn't say visiting. I said how many live there. In other words, how many black people are part of the community? And I'm saying it that way to make a point to y'all. How many black people are part of the community of Chinatown?
I couldn't tell you, man. How many people live in Harlem? You know, Harlem was,
that's my point.
Predominantly
that's not my point.
Black.
Okay, that's not my point. Here's the problem. The problem is if you say any number at all, you're wrong. That's the problem, brother. It doesn't matter what number you say. Whatever number you say, it's wrong.
Right.
That's
right,
my point.
I know you're going to go for none.
You say, how many people live in Harlem? It doesn't matter if you know whether how many live in Harlem or not. If I say how many black people in Harlem, you can say a lot. Or you can say a few. The one thing that you cannot say is none. You can't say there are none. That's my point. I want you to start facing these things from a masculine perspective because you knew what the answer was to that. It would have saved face
right.
if you just said, yeah, there's much bigger, there's none. And that's the point. Those people are more powerful than you are. They're more powerful than you. And they're not my
They ain't powerful than me. They ain't powerful
than
me.
Okay, how do you figure that? How do you
figure
that?
I just don't think like that.
Okay,
I just don't think like that.
It's not about what you think. Tell me why they're not.
I mean, for one, you know, I got God, you know, and I just feel like, you know, I'm just a strong black man, you know, and I don't look at money. I don't look at the monetary system and things like that. I'm content with, you know, with me elevating and me showing love and being in the community and helping, you know, I just don't compare myself to a community of Chinese people or Latin, or I just deal with me, my family, and just try to help. That's how I look at it. You know, I don't give them that power.
You don't give them that power. So you're saying
nah,
that they don't only
no.
have, you're saying that you don't understand why it is that you get racially profiled 10 to 15 times the rate they do. You're saying that you don't understand why that happens.
No, well, you got to understand that. You got to, with these cops, when you get pulled over, you know, I used to be, you know, a hothead and, you know, and things like that. But you got to learn to, you know, let stuff go. When you get pulled over, you got to show respect, you know?
Okay, these people aren't getting pulled over at all.
You know,
you're talking about how to handle getting pulled over by the police. Those people in Chinatown
right.
are not getting pulled over at all. Are you understanding? They're not getting pulled
yeah,
over
I know.
At
yeah.
all, ever, at all.
Right.
So the question is, if you got so much power, and praise the Lord, and my spirituality is my shield, why is it that these people are
getting
pulled over, these other people are not getting pulled over at all?
Right. It is that's the cause we was dealt. It makes me stronger. Whatever.
No. That's not the cause.
I mean, we can't stop. We can't
stop
the whole police.
Those are not the cards that we were dealt. That is the situation that we have accepted. That's the terms and the conditions that we accept and have accepted every day.
Well, I mean, we got African Americans. We got them in the police force. I mean, they not changing no laws. You know, we got President Obama.
Police don't change laws, sir. Police don't change laws.
You want us to go on inside every police department and take over? I mean, how you want to do it?
Yeah, what's
the answer?
I like that. That's pretty good. Yeah. I like that right there. That's real good. Yeah. That's the idea. Now, the thing is, you're trying to wrap your mind around, well, how do you make that happen? And what I'm saying is that's what empowerment is for. When you own your community, that is when you control the businesses and economy. This is something that I'm going to bring in stark reality for all of you in the historic documentary 7 a.m. that we are well underway with now. In the documentary, I'm going to take you to Manhattan and understand something. In Manhattan, I'm sundown town, if I ever saw one. You have no business being in Manhattan if you ain't got money. And there will be no place for you to be after dark in Manhattan if you don't have the money to be there. And that's what you do. When you own all the businesses in an area, you decide what reason a person has to be walking around there. Because if we're doing business with you, you're trespassing. Now, once you control the economy, you control the streets. Once you control the streets, you control the community. Once you have a community, you can now that you have a community, you can make rules as a group. You know, that code thing I was talking about at the beginning of the broadcast. You can make a code as a group, and we can select you, or TA, or Jimmy Ace, or Rich. And we're going to say, you're going to run for judge, and we're going to make you the judge. And if my son gets pulled over by one of these bigoted cops, you let him off. The other thing we're going to do is we're going to stack city council. Now, we're not going to stack them with a bunch of jigaboons up here trying to figure out how they can get a payoff and get a bribe. Ain't that right, Kwame Kilpatrick? Ain't that right, Ray Nagin? Ain't that right, Bill Jefferson? Ain't that right, Monica Conyers? We're not going to stack the city council with a bunch of useless empty suits. We're going to stack them with our people protecting our interests. Because Kwame Kilpatrick was brought to you by non-black people, but y'all don't know that, and you don't remember that, and so was Monica Conyers. Ray Nagin was brought to you by non-black people, by the way, and nobody wants to remember that. Bill Jefferson, Jesse Jackson Jr., Raymond Burris, they were brought to you by non-black people. Raymond Burris, sorry about that. We can go down the list. It's very long and very history. They were brought to you by non-black people. You didn't select them. Hell, you didn't select Barack Obama. You didn't know who was 24 months before he ran for president. You didn't know who was. That's my point. When you control your community, you control the police department. Because we will select the politicians and the judges, and they will control the police department. You have laws that say that they can cite you and put you in jail if you're sagging your pants. But we don't have a law that says that if you're guilty of police brutality or police harassment, that you go to jail as a cop. You go to jail. That we set these are the guidelines, and if you do these things, everything that they do to black people when they pull us over, that everything is to be made illegal. So you want specifics. Nobody else can give you specifics. And this is why you can't get there from here. We should look at everything that cops do when they pull a black man over, and everything that they do, it should be illegal. We He should not be allowed to ask your name. He would have to state to you clearly pulled you over. None of this garbage of playing games, the dashboard cameras either. If the dashboard camera does match up with his eyewitness testimony, we will assume the camera is telling the truth and he's lying. He's going to have to make that camera tell the truth. If it doesn't, you're guilty of a crime. If you can be guilty of a crime by possessing a gun, he can be guilty of a crime by reading what's on this video. He's lying. If this video doesn't match up, we assume you're lying. That's what you do. But you see, Negroes are doing other things. You see, we're busy trying to build coalitions with everyone but ourselves. We can't imagine black empowerment, and we can't even envision the world of it. And then we wonder why we're in the position that we're in. What you're saying is nice. In a colorblind world and in a perfect society, the problem is that's not where we are. I'm trying to get from you a set of the rules for the imperfect world that we're in. What do we do with this imperfect, incredibly flawed world that we are living in, not the one we wish we were in? What do we do with that?
Right. Well, you know, I think for me, you know, and with black people, the reason why you get on your rants about we can't get along and, you know, the way we act and things like that, I mean, it's foretelling. Because we just can't get along in a lot of areas, but I got to look past that. I can't worry about what people say and what people do. I'm trying to move forward and help who wants to be helped. You know, that's my mission. You know, and I have God govern my life. You know, and that's what we all need to do. You know, everybody that's listening to you, they're not going to take heed to your message. They're going to be, you know, just listening. They're not going to move because that's how most people are, you know. They just going to be stagnant and just listen to what you're saying and don't take it in and don't do nothing to change their community. You know, I'm trying to get what I can from you and take it to the community. You know,
well,
I'm tired of talking. I'm tired of watching documentaries.
I agree.
Let's change it.
Okay, you're further
let's
along.
Go. What's the,
okay, you're first on a lot of people. Here's what you need to do, brother. These cannot do anything in this world if you do not have any wealth. Period. End of discussion. So I have three questions for you. What do you own? What do you control? And what can you pass down?
Well, you know, I've been getting my credit right. So I got a 700, you know. So, you know, I'm trying to build that up. You know, I'm trying to open a little hospital in about, like, 5 years, you know. I'm just trying to, you know, the cards that was dealt to me, you know, I had to start late. I'm 33, and I'm just, like, the last 6 years, I'm just trying to build everything up. So, you know, for all the time and things like that. So I'm trying to move as fast as I could, you know.
Okay,
but,
well,
I'm just trying
thought.
To build.
I'll leave you with this thought here. In the last Rambo, the group of pacifists came to Burma, and they met the old soldier there, John Rambo, and they were talking about that they came there to help. The only question that John Rambo asked them was, any guns? To which the guy said, no, we're peace workers. And he simply said to them, then you ain't changing nothing. Brother, if you don't have any money, power, wealth, and influence, you ain't changed nothing. That's why you're frustrated.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Why do we need power? None of our ancestors before us had power, wealth, or anything, and they changed.
And look where we
they
are.
They changed stuff.
What did they change? What changed? Tell me.
I mean, look where white people are. They got wealth, but they unhappy. Just what you see on the... They committed suicide at a high rate. There was a report the bankers
you know what?
Committed suicide.
I'm so tired, black folk. I've heard a bunch of old black women use that they commit suicide thing. They commit suicide.
Oh, my God.
They commit suicide. We commit homicide. You can't compare their suicide rate to our homicide and our poverty rate. You can't compare the two.
Okay, let me, okay, forget, okay, okay.
I'm depending on them to knock the bells off. And it's like, man, really? We're going to wait for that? How about we deal with empowerment first? How about we all get our own separate financial situations together at a high level, and then we start talking about, you know what, we're going to set up just one block, just like they do when they set up a strip mall in your area. We're going to start right here. We're going to start right here. And because Black Wall Street was basically a strip mall, nobody wants to say it like that, but Black Wall Street was basically a strip mall. And if we as Blacks started doing that, it'd be different. Got to start there. I'll let you have the last word, brother.
Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, say, you know, you have a great show, a great platform, and, you know, I'll be praying for you, and, you know, and just I hope you, you know, find happiness, and you hope, you know, in everything, and prosperity, and everything, and, you know, you see what you want to see.
Can't have it, brother. I thank you for well wishes, and I appreciate that, but it's going to be no happiness. My people are in chains. I can't be happy. I'm not going to find happiness until my people have empowerment. I guess in the old days when my people are free, when my people have empowerment, that's when I'll get happy. That's when I'll be cracking jokes and laughing. But right now, I thank you for the well wishes. I appreciate that. I appreciate the well wishes. And I'm not throwing it back in your face. That's not what I'm doing. But what I'm saying, brother, I can't be happy until my people got power. I can't just be doing good by myself. And that's okay. I can't do that. I got to get, if my people aren't doing well, how can I be happy and it's just me by myself? How can I be happy?
Life is short.
I'm married to my people. And what you're saying is, right. I'm doing okay, but my wife is sitting over here living in the back of a 70 Buick. How am I going to be happy with her living like that? How do I find happiness that way? And you said life is short. You're absolutely right. It is short. And if I got to die, let me die for my people then. If I got to give up happiness for myself, so be it. So be it. So be it.
I respect that.
Small price to pay. Thank you very much for giving us a call tonight, brother. We appreciate it. This is the BlackChannel.net radio, the home of Intelligent Black Thought. And I let him speak because, understand, he's not the only person who feels that way. He's not the only person who feels that way. And you all need to hear that this is out there. Because we don't have a large forum outside of this place. This is the only place that was built and ground up to give Intelligent Black the opportunity to discuss these things. Nobody else discusses it from that perspective. If he had talked to somebody else, they would have just said, okay, you can get your happiness, get it how you live. This is the place that if it's not for your people, how did you define that as happiness, sir? How did you do that? How can you do that? Caller from the 713, you're on live with the Black Channel. All 713 is there, but I think they're distracted. Caller from the 713, you're on live.
Caller from the 713, Black Channel.
Yes, hello, Mr. Black.
Okay, turn off your speakers because I've been calling you now for half a minute.
Hello, Mr. Black.
What's your name?
Yes, well, just call me SD. I'm not interested in giving my name, but I want to talk to you. I have some questions for you.
Okay. Where are you calling from, SD?
I'm from Houston. I'm calling in Houston.
Hello, Mr. SD from Houston. You need to turn your speakers completely off because I hear them echoing behind you, and that will create this endless loop that will be distracting everybody. If you can't turn off the speakers all the way completely, I will have to disconnect your call simply so we will not have an endless feedback, not because I'm trying to be mean.
No problem. I turned it down.
Okay.
I recently found your videos on YouTube, and I've been watching them, and I think they are very informative. I checked out your website also to find out more about you. What I'm calling in, I didn't find out what I wanted to find out, though. I'm calling in to ask you specifically, what is it that, what is your goal? What is it that you are trying to do? Are you trying to build an organization? Are you trying to get our people where? I'm interested because I see a lot of people like yourself that have YouTube channels and do lectures across the country and everything, but a lot of them are very vague about exactly what it is they are trying to do.
Okay, did you listen to my last broadcast at all?
Say that again?
Listen to my last broadcast. It's on YouTube. Did you listen to it at all?
Is that the handling the business? That's the last
yes.
one I looked at.
Yes. Did you listen to it?
Yes, I did.
Okay, but you still called in and asked the question that you're asking now.
Yes.
Okay, so
I didn't get all of your answers.
Okay, excuse me, because you said you wanted an answer. So you're telling me, what you're trying to tell me is that you heard the whole two parts of it. You heard both the beginning, first half, and the second half, correct?
Right. You allowed people to call in with their business plans and things. You talked about formulating businesses and things that they could do.
Okay, so you mean that you listened to that whole thing, which was the epitome of everything that we do here, and you're saying that you still don't know what we do and what the goal is. Pretty much right?
Not specifically, other than, you know, trying to help people empower themselves economically. But I want to know from you. I want to hear you say it, what it is that you're trying to do. I mean,
you're saying that you heard. We're redundant. We're being redundant. What you're saying is that I heard you for 5 hours on a previous broadcast. I heard you for 5 hours, and I still don't understand what you're trying to do, even though it was spelled out in intricate with caller after caller after caller. But you're still saying, I don't get it.
Hey, brother. Hey, brother. I'm on the phone with you now, and we're talking. Can we discuss
the thing
it
is, I don't really feel like, I'm like, you didn't get it from that broadcast?
No.
You're saying, okay, explain it to me in a way the broadcast couldn't. And the thing is, I don't understand how to explain it to you in a way that 4 or 5 hours of step-by-step detail did not.
But see,
What are you looking for me that you didn't get that broadcast for 4 or 5 hours? What are you looking for?
Mr. Black, I'm asking you as we're on the phone right now, what is your goal that you have for our people?
The goal is black empowerment, but you said you heard it for 4 or 5 hours and didn't even get it from that. So I just said black empowerment, and I have a feeling that me saying that isn't spelled clearly enough for you either. And
okay,
that's
so can you spell out
time
so that
is limited?
So
your time is limited, and I don't really like being redundant because everybody else got it. Did you notice that nobody else has called in and asked that? Did you notice that?
I just turned on to the stream and started listening, and when I saw the number, I was excited to call you and get you on the phone. So,
but
I mean, black empowerment can mean a lot of things for a lot of different people, so I'd like to hear it from you exactly.
Okay, you know what?
Does that mean the community gets rich?
Ogo, go in the chat room, just said it very well. This call sounds like you're trolling. Okay.
No, I'm asking you a serious question. I'm not trolling it out.
How can you listen to that last broadcast, which spelled it out for 5 hours, but you called today to say, I didn't get it? I keep asking that because it's like, okay, 5 hours wasn't enough. You didn't understand that we're talking about business and economics the whole time, but you didn't understand from 5 hours of it being explained in minute detail, and you're still calling in today to say, what is empowerment? So 5 hours of economics did not communicate to you what empowerment was?
Okay, listen.
You guys talk about money a whole lot on the Black Channel, but I'm still not sure what they mean by keep talking about money and empowerment, money and empowerment, money and empowerment. But I'm not sure what they mean, empowerment.
Could mean a lot of things, brother. Empowerment for some people is moving into white neighborhoods and being able to marry white women. Empowerment for some people is being able to go to their schools. Empowerment can mean a lot of different things for a lot of different people, as I've just said. So I'm calling in so that I can be clear, so that I haven't misunderstood. I'd like to hear it from you. What do you mean by empowerment? For some people, empowerment means going back to Africa and having our own countries. I want to know exactly what it
I've
is.
I've never talked
I'm
about going back to Africa.
I didn't say that. You said that.
Okay.
I said for
stop
some
talking.
People.
Brother, stop talking.
Well, can you spell out what it is instead of
going
back to
I just said stop talking, and then you said talking again. Do you see a problem with a person who does that?
All I'm asking you, brother, is because
I said stop talking, and then you started talking some more.
Okay, I'm listening.
It doesn't sound like you're trying to get an answer. It sounds like you're just trying to talk. Do you get the problem now? Because this is probably what you were doing during that broadcast. You should have been listening, and instead you were jawboning with somebody instead of just listening because the answer was there. We talk about economics all day. We talk about money all day. The previous caller, you sat here on the line and heard me tell him that if you don't have your power, wealth, influence together, you're not going to have anything. So power, wealth, and influence. Does that spell out for you what empowerment is?
Do you believe that we can power, wealth, and influence here in America?
Excuse me, sir. I asked you a question. You asked me one, however banal, and I answered. I asked you a question. I just said power, wealth, and influence. Did that answer your question about empowerment?
Yes, it did. Power, wealth, and influence.
Okay, because I was about to wait for you to say, some people have a different definition of power and wealth influence, and so can you break it down for me? So I'm glad we don't have to get into that. That's good. Now, how is that different from what you heard on the broadcast last time or while you're waiting on hold listening to the previous caller? What did you get from what the three words I just said that you didn't get while you were waiting on hold or from the previous broadcast that was recorded? I'm just trying to find out here, what was it was missing there? How is it any different from what you heard before?
Well, I mean, that's what I pretty much figured listening to your videos. But just power, wealth, and influence in this country, what I'm saying is any time that blacks have, or Africans as I'd like to say, any time that we have achieved a degree of power, a degree of wealth, a degree of influence, it has been attacked and destroyed repeatedly. There's countless examples here in this country, and I'm sure that you know that. So my question is, do you want us to achieve that power, wealth, and influence and remain in this country?
I want to have power so we can go wherever we want to go. Is what power is. Power is not confining you to a room. When you have power, son, look up the definition of power. Power is the ability to exert your will. Exert means to push outward. To inflict, to impose. So that means my answer to your question is yes and no.
Say that again. You were going out
there. Let me rephrase that. Power is not a yes or no question. Power is a what do you want to do question. Power is not about what options are available. Power is about what options do you have? And see, trying to recalibrate your mind to get out of that employee mindset, that servant mindset, that do what you're told and take what you're given mindset, and move it on over into a I'm in charge, I set the rules. I set them. I make rules here. And if I want to go to mission, I can. And if I want to go to Mali, I can. If I want to go to Rwanda, I can. And if I want to go to Raleigh, I can. So there is no give me the power and then where will I go? You give the power and I go where I please. That is the purpose of obtaining power, wealth, influence. No more getting stopped by police. No more sundown towns. No more passport checks. And no more you can have power in this corner of places as long as you're number two to us. No, we're number one. We make the rules. And that's it. That is what power does. Own rules. It does not say I will have power in America, but not in Africa. Power says I have power wherever my feet touch ground. Wherever my feet off that plane, off that boat, out of that car. That's I brought power with me. It's not in a geographic location. I'm the power.
Okay. Now, in some of those things, I've heard you say things like no more being harassed and brutalized by the police, and I heard you say other things, but I didn't hear you. You may have said it in other videos. I haven't watched all of your videos, but I didn't see anywhere where you put forth solutions to stop the police from putting their hands on us or brutalizing
us. Okay, now this makes everybody upset. Did you listen to the previous caller? And that's already been explained to you, but you said you have given solutions. So do you get the solution when I already addressed this with the previous caller?
No, I came in when you were talking about move. You were asking the guy about Chinatown. Did black people live in Chinatown? And the guy was, saying he was kind of beating around the bush.
And then I went on to say what?
Yeah, you gave the example of in Tulsa, if they had guns and defended themselves.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
Right.
I'll have the last word, brother.
Okay. I'm just trying to get clear on. I understand economics, what you want to do, but I'm just trying to get clear on how you're trying to go about doing it. Because you know, a lot of people say, "What we should do, what we should do, what we should do."
Okay.
But
here's all
I want
you to
really
do.
Tell you
okay.
How
do me
we
a
go
favor.
About
okay.
doing it.
Here. Do
That's
me a favor.
Collective.
Okay, do me a favor, because I'm starting to feel like you're not sincere and that you just called in to troll. But I'm going to give you a chance to prove you're not, okay? Here's what I want you to do. I'm going to be broadcasting tomorrow, 7 p.m. Central, all right?
Okay.
All right. What you're going to do, your homework assignment is going to be to listen to this broadcast after I have it uploaded. It'll be uploaded after midnight. Listen to this broadcast, particularly listen to the caller who came on before you. All these questions were already addressed. You were on hold and should have been able to hear them, but maybe you were just distracted by something else. Listen to his call. And if you still have any questions, call me back tomorrow, and I'll address them. But whatever questions you ask, they must be new questions, not ones that have already been addressed already. The reason that I'm doing this with is because too many black men have been raised in single mother homes. And as Tariq said so briefly, you all have grown thinking that another man is supposed to nurture you. And I don't nurture men. I treat you like a coach, football coach, or a drill sergeant. In other words, I instruct you, but I don't nurture you. So holding your hand, patting your hand, and giving it to you easy when I'm being asked redundant things, a man is supposed to be redundant. A man is supposed to be fully informed. And what this shows me is you didn't try very hard to be fully informed. I'm not trying to get a big audience of people who are not fully informed. That's why I talk to people the way that I do, because it's like, well, not fully informed. Most of the idiots who go out there believing gossip about me, I don't want them listening to me. If a person believes gossip, then why would I want you listening? I'm a fully informed person. Now, I'm not saying
I'm
not saying you're one of those people. What I am saying, though, is that I want you to listen to this broadcast after it's uploaded. Listen to it. See if all your questions haven't already been answered. Talk to somebody else. Because here's the thing. Even though this might not seem redundant to you, it's redundant to everybody else listening out there right now. They already heard all this.
Let me tell you something real quick. You are going to continuously have new listeners and new listeners and new listeners.
Okay,
and
I need
those,
them to go back
those,
to listen to the archive.
Excuse me. Hey,
I need you to go back to listen to the archive. Okay?
Brother, that's
why I have it there.
Go ahead.
It's there so you can go back and listen to it so that other people do not have to sit here and bored with redundancy. It's there so you can go listen, not them. So it's there so they can go get caught up afterwards. And what you're saying is, well, let's get caught up 4 and 5, 6 times a broadcast. We'll never make any progress. We keep having to take 2 steps forward and 3 steps back where we've already been. We can't make progress that way. So what I'm going to do here, I'm not going to say you're trolling. What I'm going to say is that go listen to this broadcast after uploaded. See if it can answer all your questions. And if there are any questions that weren't already addressed, I will get them from you on tomorrow's broadcast, okay?
What I'm going to do is I'm going to go and listen, go and watch more of your videos and get more information about you. And then once I learn more, then I'll give you a call back and try to speak specifically with you, not vague and not just power, wealth, influence, because that could be anything for a lot of people. I want to talk specifically with you. So I'll give you a call back when I have a chance.
If somebody has a vague idea of what power is, what wealth is, and what influence is, a weak person wants words like that. They're very specific. When you say wealth, you mean money. A weak person wants you to have a definition other than money. They want something other than that. Why? Because they're weak and worthless, and they don't want that because you can quantify money. They want you to talk about something you can't quantify, like religion or happiness. They want something that you can't put a numerical value on. Why? Because the guy's full of garbage, but he doesn't want other people judging him for it. So that's why he wants it to be vague. And, man, that could be anything, anybody. Well, no, it's really not. That's why wealth has a dictionary definition. Power has a dictionary definition that we need to learn the actual applicable definitions of those things. And influence is a dictionary definition, too. And only weak people want us to redefine those words to mean something else. So those people, even though they do not have power, wealth, and influence, can still have a seat at the table. And what I'm saying is that it's time out for us dumbing down the society and lowering the bar. Either you qualify or you don't. Either you got it or you don't. And everybody else got moved. Thank you very much for giving us a call, though. Please listen to the broadcast once it's uploaded. I think you'll get a lot of information there. Thank you, everybody, for your patience. Caller from the 813, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Yes. Hi, my name is Ime. I'm calling from Florida, Tampa, Florida.
Welcome
more
on, Black Man.
Well, I wanted to actually comment on the caller before the last caller. You know, people like that always really just amaze me because, you know, you're asking him, you know, just about Black empowerment. And it's almost like something that he can't even, it's so big he can't fathom and he can't dream of it. You know, he's saying, oh, well, you know, I live in this kumbaya moment of you know, everybody's equal and that sort of thing. And it's like, you know, when white people were raping and pillaging and killing everyone that was in America so that, well, as they call it, colonizing, as they were colonizing so that they can set everything up and set everything up in their favor, they weren't thinking about a kumbaya moment. They were thinking about just themselves. Having just power themselves, not sharing it with anybody, not a kumbaya moment. They wanted to.
Well, he would tell you that we're past that. He would tell you that we're past that. What do you say to him?
Yeah. Well, you know.
I say the fact that he has to call in and discuss it is your proof that we're obviously not past it.
Right, exactly. And for you to ask him, you know, and then the question with that you asked him where you said how many Black people live in, you know, in Chinatown, and Chinatown anywhere, you know, some Black people living in Chinatown, and I don't know, it's just amazing because you can literally smell the gears turning in his brain and say, okay, he doesn't get it. You know, and then ask, okay, well, where would the last, you know, where would we go? Would we go back to Africa? It doesn't matter where we'd go because we could do whatever we want to do because we have that power. We can do whatever we want. If we want to stay here, if we want to take over, if we want to move our resources back overseas, if that's what we choose to do. But it's like, again, you know, when you can't fathom that amount of power, I don't know what it is that dumbs people's brains down to where they can't imagine the power that basically the same type of power that's basically holding them down, that, you know, the same thumb that they're under. It's like you don't realize, you know, he says, well, you know, you ask him, what about the future? Well, what about the kids? You know, it's like the type of power where my kid gets pulled over and I don't have to worry about, you know, oh, boy, is he going to move the wrong way or say the wrong thing? And is he going to get shot? Is he going to, you know, you don't have power if you have to live in fear of somebody else shooting you for no reason. You don't have power if you can't live what you want. Yeah, you know, without someone harassing you or without, you know, or your neighborhood having the terrible property values, the education system being terrible with, you know, funding not going to black schools and, you know, the backward setup of if a school does well, then they get more money, but if the school does bad, it doesn't get any money. Well, of course, that's going to be the black schools. You know, people don't think like that. You know, it's mind-boggling that people don't think about – I guess they don't quantify power. I don't know if that makes any sense. It's so big they can't quantify it.
It's so specific. Don't want to quantify it because as a man, if you brought power to your people, we can see it. You're not going to be able to snowball us thinking you brought us power if you didn't. Either you did or you didn't, and that's why
right.
They don't want there to be a definition of power. When you said the good school. Don't you know those same people who tell you that power means different things to different people and wealth means different things to different people? Don't you know that that will be the same person who will be teaching your child, can't teach for 3 years, haven't taught them how to add up plus two, and they will tell you that, well, good math skills mean different things to different people. Now, just
but
like
see,
that teacher or who you heard. Now, do you want him teaching your children? And when your children come home, he'll give them all A's. And yet they can't add. And you realize one day, wow, my child can't add. Let me go talk to his teacher. And the teacher, you sit up and you realize the damn class can't add. And the teacher tells you, well, addition means different things to different people.
Right. I mean, there's just no way to water down success. I mean, there's, you know, and when you have to water it down, I mean, that just makes it sad. You know, it's no, and you're right. I don't know what he does. I don't know if he's a teacher, but he says that he teaches kids, and you know, it's like at these schools where these white kids are going to school, you have to say that they're being taught the sky is the limit, do whatever you want, not different things for different people. They're being told, okay, it's either this or nothing. It's either you do this or nothing else. And yeah, maybe they do have people to grease the wheels a little bit so they can get into certain colleges and get places. Well, more than a little bit. Way more than a little bit. But my point is that, again, even with the help, without help of you know, the white power structure, they're still being told that they can do whatever, do anything. You know, and we're being told, oh, well, you know, it's different things to different people. You know, it's no. You know, there's really only one way of success. You know, it just doesn't make any sense. So I'd really hope that he's not a teacher. I don't know. But I just wouldn't want that type of mentality you know, being sent to my kids. I mean, I don't have any right now, but, you know, when I have kids, I just would not want somebody like that giving them information at all.
And that's my point, though, is that when men are successful, they don't look for people to give them a bunch of reasons to not excel. They look for five different definitions of a word. When you're a loser, you want five different ways to get a trophy when you're not good at something. Hell, you want there to be multiple trophies. You want there to be a I tried the hardest trophy. I tried the hardest. I tried the hardest. Now, will someone please explain to me, how do we quantify who tried the hardest? The guy who ran the fastest? The guy whose heart rate got up the most? The guy who used the most muscles, the guy who's been training the longest, or the guy who lost the most sleep the night before the race. How do we quantify tried? Because you see, tried does not actually require you to actually do anything, as I just showed you. It doesn't actually require you to do anything. You can define try however you want. And if you're a loser or freeloader, you want that. If you're a con man, you want a loophole. Because, you see, we say you won the race if you cross the finish line first, but a con man wants a loophole. You won the race if you cross the finish line first, if you're wearing red shoes. And get what the con man's going to do. I don't care if Carl loses in the race. Carl's getting his red shoes stolen. And guess what? That's the way it's going to work. So people who actually have accomplishments and actually have a plan don't need and don't look for loopholes. You just want to know where's the goal. First there is the winner.
I think it's a child's mentality, personally. I think, and that's just how I think about it. It's a child's mentality. I mean, if you remember when you were a kid and somebody came up and they had a brand new bike and it was 10 times better than the clunker that you had, you said, it's not that nice anyway. It's not that great. You know, these are the same. You know, that's kind of the thing that I imagine with, you know, that happens in the minds of people like this, because you say, well, look at this. You know, like you said, I believe it was one half of 1% of the world's wealth and that sort of thing. And you say, well, that's what we have. That's ours. And then you look at what everyone else has. And instead of putting those numbers under a microscope and saying, okay, well, what can we do to change this? Or how do we – no, kumbaya. God's on my side, everybody, I'm just trying to live with everybody. It's all kinds of people in the world. Okay, well, these other people
now,
don't care about
being,
all kinds of people.
If you remember during the TARP bailout, whatnot, they talked about AIG, American Insurance Group. That company had somewhere around $1 trillion of outstanding liabilities. Century 21 has $1 trillion of property, I believe it is, under transactions. What? They're not worth $1 trillion. Thank you, speaking. Do you know what that means? That means that between those two companies alone have more money circulating than the entirety of black society does. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Those two companies, everybody talks about comparing Warren Buffett or Bill Gates, and y'all are just talking about comparing an individual to another individual. I'm talking about, by the way, are you aware that there are two companies that you would be more profitable doing business with those two companies than you would with the entirety of black society? Did you know that?
Wow. That is crazy, and I didn't know that.
But then, you want to call my broadcast, speak to my listeners, and tell them how much we got on the ball in black society. Then you want to tell us how well we're doing and that there's some things going well.
That's a fallacy. Now, that's not at all. Not at all. And if you see, and my thing is, if things are going well to you, then I'd hate to see your measuring stick, because that's – and then the thing is, he keeps bringing up, oh, well, we do better than we were, and okay, but not great. You know, there's – but not great. You know, how many – okay, now we're not being hosed or we're not slaves or whatever the case, but again, there's still it's not equal. Trayvon Martin and all of those things tell you it's not equal. You know, the what was it, Michael Dunn, all of these things tell you it's not equal, and it won't be. You know, until, like you said, until we start building, until we have power, you know. So that's all I really wanted to say. I mean, I won't hold the broadcast, but I just, when I hear people like that, it just shakes my mind. It just shakes me, because it's like, you know, you can't even quantify power. You know, you don't understand. You don't understand that you're under somebody's thumb, and you don't even know that, you know. And when someone points it out, it's kumbaya. They're all kind of different races. I don't understand that. It just doesn't make any sense. So, I mean, I hope he's not a teacher. You know, no offense to him, but I really hope he's not a teacher. But
It would explain a lot of things.
Yeah.
I'll let you out of last word.
Well, basically, black first. That's it.
Black first, brother. Thank you very much for joining us here. Okay, yeah, I'll go a little long. That's fine. I was supposed to have gone out of here like an hour ago. You all keep holding me. When his call came in, I felt that was an opportunity for a teaching moment here. You can take a look at a couple of things. I see a caller from Colorado, land of mile high weed, apparently. You're on live with Black Champ. Caller from 72, last call, you're on live. Okay. 720 is apparently kicking off the Wii party early. Caller from the 313, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Yeah, I'm calling from Detroit.
What's your name?
Vaughn.
Hello, Vaughn. What's on your mind, black man?
Hey, man, you need to do a documentary on, what's the word I'm looking for? Black power failure. Because Detroit is a prime example of what not to do when you have the political power but don't know how to use it. And you find yourself losing it simply because your population has made so many bad choices with the politician they put in power that the state has to come in and take total control over every elected official, virtually every city elected official that controls the ins and outs of the budget for all your tax dollars. Prime example, in the city of Detroit. The state came in and took over the school system 13 years ago, and they're still here. When the state came in the first time, there were 142 schools, public schools, in the city of Detroit. As of today, there's 36 left. The state came in and took over the court system because they put some idiot judges on there. They put some judges on there, and the judges weren't enforcing the laws the way they should. They was making, let's say, personal decisions as opposed to judicial decisions. As such, the court wasn't collecting the fines from the people who ran lights, who didn't pay their tickets, and the judges decided, well, they can't afford to pay, so we're not going to make them pay. So what happens, the court system went virtually bankrupt, and the state had to come in to basically to order the judges, and they do order the judges to enforce the law. And when they don't, they remove the judges. They already done that to one judge. The state has come in to absolute authority over the court system. So when the judges fail to do what they require, they just fire the judge, which is, you know, these are elected officials too, but, you know, their election doesn't matter because if the overseer of the courts don't like what they're doing, they get fired. Then we move on to the city government as a whole.
Yeah, for everybody out there who's not aware of what he's referring to the Emergency Finance Management Law, among other things. And we started talking about the Emergency Finance Management Law when they started moving into Benton Harbor 5 years ago. And this was the first place, that was the only website, the only podcast anywhere that brought the term Emergency Finance Law Manager to the people. Now, that law was initially brought in by Jennifer Granholm, a Democrat, but it's been a Republican, Snyder, who's been swinging the thing like a sledgehammer. And the point is being made now that they're no longer waiting at the sea level for you to give up. And everybody's talking about Benton Harbor and don't worry about it. And I said, understand something. Benton Harbor is just the first test subject. They just want to see if they can get away there. If they get away with Benton Harbor, next target, Detroit. And that was the very next thing that happened was Detroit. And you are absolutely right. This is what ignorance and apathy did in this black city, Motown, is what happened. You empowered the Democrats you thought were on your side. They played that shell game. You get the law that's going to knock you out and give it to the Republicans to beat the hell out of you with it. And then you go around telling yourself that it wasn't the Democrats that did it to you, it was the Republicans, when in reality, it was both of them. They both did it to you because they're not protecting black empowerment. They both see you as an obstacle to it, and we're not seeing that. They've been playing a game with us now for 50 years since Lyndon Johnson, and we're not getting it yet. We still don't get it.
Absolutely. And I keep in mind that the mayor and the city council have no authority. They were just elected this past November, but because there is an emergency manager, whatever actions they take has to be approved by him. So they give the appearance they actually run the city. But once their decisions are made, they send it to the emergency manager, and he decides on the ups and downs of their decision. And as the sole authority of the city of Detroit, the emergency manager, he has decided that he's going to start privatizing city assets. First on the block is the city water department.
I want you to say that because they've been after the water system now for a decade. That is a crown jewel, and private companies can't wait to get their hands on Detroit's water the same way that Enron couldn't wait to get its hands on California's electricity.
Yeah, well, he has decided because the he couldn't get an agreement with the suburban the suburbs around the city to come up with some type of where they give more money into the system for the having more rights to it. Well, they said no, they're not giving any more money, so he's going to privatize it, so it's going to bite them in the butt too. The trash pickup is being privatized within a month's time. So where there were unionized city employees, they are no longer be unionized. It'd be like waste management, someone else come in, and their pay is going to be reduced by, about $7 to $9 an hour. So that's coming to an end. They're slowly privatizing certain or civilianizing certain entities within the police department. So where there was a police officer doing certain jobs, they're going to put a temp service person in that position. But here's the killing part. The police department might be the new experiment for private police. If you ever seen a RoboCop, there was a private company that came in and ran a police department. Well, the police department in the city of Detroit is middle age. The city of Detroit has had a history of hiring in bulk. So they'll go at, say, 20-plus years. Within that 20 years, within that average time is 25 years. They'll wait 20 years of that bulk hire and start hiring. And they'll hire, 2,000 police officers within 5 years. So they're covered. Well, when they did that bulk hiring back in the mid-90s, it was fine because they had the money basically from federal government to do it. Well, now they don't have that federal government to come in to help them out. So the retirement age was changed some years ago. It went from 25 to 20. Well, those 20s are coming up. The city of Detroit hired between 93 and 2000 to replace their department. Those folks would be, and the ones that was already on, out of a police department that has 2,500, 800 can retire now. Another 300 will retire within 2 years. So half the police department can walk out the door within another 19 months or so. Well, they haven't made any efforts, nor are they saying they're going to make any efforts. Well, actually did. They said they're going to hire 150 over the next 2 years. Well, if you got 800 leaving, how is that 150 going to replace that 800? It's not. So, it wouldn't be surprised to me within the next couple of years that there's going to be a new experiment with the police department where it might be privatized or broken up or whatever it is. The city of Detroit won't have control over its department anymore. It's going to be something new.
Just think Blackwater. Think Blackwater.
Yeah.
So
it's something new. And like I said, probably somebody could come in and do it.
I don't want to be rude. I'll just go ahead and wrap it up here because we're up on the end of our time here. for me anyway. But I'll go ahead and let you the last word. But you're right, that's exactly what's coming next. Big change coming.
Yeah, I also want to point out that now they're in control of everything. They're trying to get rid of the pension system, too. The city has two pension systems, one for civilians, one for all uniforms, and they're slowly trying to find a way to get take that down. So my concern is if they do in Detroit, it's going to be a matter of time before it spreads nationwide. And whatever you thought you had with some type of security within the group that you control, the city you control, won't be there because there's going to be a plan in place to circumvent all your rights and privatize all that you have, and you can once again, you all going to be back up on our own. Thought we have power, but the crop has been pulled from underneath us.
And we sat for the whole thing while we danced a jig with Kwame Kilpatrick. We thought he was so suave and so Mac Daddy. Professor Black Truth put out his video, "We're All Detroiters Now," years ago, and told everybody this was coming. The only monster that didn't specifically name was the Emergency Finance Manager Law, but understand something. By that time, it was already too late. Hell, the law's in place sufficient enough. The Emergency Finance Manager Law is to make sure that they expedite the private companies to be getting to divide up the spoils. And this is what happens when you're more concerned with being entertained than with enlightened. It's not like this is predictable. Not like this wasn't likely. It wasn't like it wasn't. You're having some trouble with your phone there, brother, so we're going to go ahead and let you go here. Brothers, sisters, I did not do this broadcast for the purposes of being entertaining. Do it because you need to be warned. You need to be warned what's coming. And I'm giving you what the national news media and no one else give you. I'm giving you the blow-by-blow analysis of what's happening around you while it's happening. Not so that you'll be afraid. That's not the point of it. I don't want you to be afraid. I see this the same way that, and it's bad when I say this, but I see this the same way that a lot of people see like the disaster movies. I see it the same way. In those disaster movies like 2012 and Deep Impact and whatnot, what happens? A catastrophe happens. Something terrible occurs. There are going to be casualties. There's going to be loss of life. Sometimes there will be tremendous loss of life. We can't save everybody as much as we would like to. We would like to make this thing go away. We can't do that. We can't save everyone. But we're not going to let that fact prevent us from saving the ones that we can. We're going to save the ones we can. And I want you to be one of the ones. If you own nothing, if you control nothing, and if you have nothing to pass down, you're not one of those ones. Brothers and sisters, do you understand what he just told you? What I've been telling for years, I post up the videos all the time. I put them up all the time, talking about the pensions, talking about your job, talking about all those things nobody else talks about in depth. When was the last time that somebody had a broadcast where they sat down and said, let me talk to you about the pension situation in Detroit? When was the last time somebody sat you down and said, I want to talk about that? Let's talk about that in depth. Let's talk about the pensions. Because you see, that's supposed to be your nest egg. That's supposed to be what you were working for. And I'm saying, do you really understand what it is? Do you really understand that you are transitioning from retire to lifetime work? And you're not understanding that. Do you know why it is? You see, the people with their pensions, this should have been pretty easy and rudimentary to predict. Why couldn't you predict that this was going to happen? Take a look at your job. You can't pass your job down. You don't own your job. You don't control your job. And you can't pass it on to anyone. Your job is not an asset. And what the workers in Detroit are finding the hard way is that their jobs are not assets. Not. You don't own it. You don't control it. You can't pass it down. And you can't protect it. That's what happens when you have something that you don't own or control. You can't protect it. And that's what's happening to them now. They have something that they neither own nor control, and thus they cannot protect it. And they need it now. They need to be able to protect this thing. They need to be able to protect it. They need to. They got kids. They got grandkids, some of them. They got a house that they still haven't paid off yet. They got cars, most of them haven't paid off yet. They thought that when they got to retirement age that they'd be able to live the good life. That's what they told themselves. I'll be able to live the good life. I'll be able to take it easy. And what they're finding out is that, no, you won't. You will not be able to take it easy. You won't be able to do anything. Nothing at all. I don't say these things because I try to scare people. I say them because I want to prepare people. I want to prepare you for the world that you actually live in. It's not a world where you're going to be able to be a con man and a con artist with a slick mouth. Blacks are very good for being con men with slick mouths. We're entering an era of the end of the con man. You're not going to be able to keep doing that. You will be a producer, or you will be a casualty. And that is what I created place for, so that I could discuss with you and speak with you, and you can network with each other. Because it's time for you to start taking on adult responsibilities. Conversations like this people don't like very much. Because the first thing you're thinking is, I don't see how I get some sex out of it. I see how I get a drink out of it. I'm telling you that you better start elevating your thoughts. You better start elevating them now. Because you might not be thinking about empowerment. And you might have a thousand different definitions of what empowerment is. You might be playing that game. Rick Snyder isn't playing that game with you. Jennifer Granholm is not playing that game with you. The Koch brothers and Barack Obama are not playing that game with you. You keep telling yourself that this is a game, and I'll change the rules. Don't worry, if the stuff really does hit the fan, I'll just get on public assistance. Do you even know what they're doing with that now? We are entering an era of social Darwinism. That is what I'm trying to tell you. It's not on its way. It's here now. It's here. And you're going to watch each of those pillars that you thought were protecting you. You're going to watch them fall one by one. And you can tell yourself that I'm just spreading hyperbole. You can just tell yourself that I'm exaggerating. You tell yourself whatever you want to. I'm not fighting with anybody. I'm not struggling with anyone to get them to believe me. I didn't fight with anybody to get them to believe that New Orleans had seen its last black mayor. I didn't fight with nobody over that. Didn't fight with nobody over Detroit seeing its last black mayor. Didn't argue with a soul over it. We didn't argue with you over where all Detroit is now when you get moved out of Detroit. We didn't argue with you. We didn't argue with anybody. We sat back and watched it happen. Does anybody who wants to argue with us at this point Buddy Brown and drown arguing with you. And I'm not trying to drown. You sit right there. You argue with yourself. You feud with yourself. You gossip with yourself. You watch rap pages with yourself. You text away on your cell phone with yourself. You come up with 1,000 different definitions of survival for yourself. You go ahead and try that game that you're trying with power and empowerment and wealth. You try redefining survival. Because I got a feeling as soon as you can't eat and as soon as you can't breathe, you're going to have the same definition of survival that the rest of us do. You won't be playing that game anymore. It'll be game over. And this concludes tonight's broadcast of the BlackChannel.net video. I am your host, your brother, your humble servant, the Black Authority, hoping that I brought you something sobering. And wherever you are out there tonight, Chris Brown, and anybody else who may want to come up and wondering about his shoes, no getting out of them. You can only try to control yourself in them. You can't avoid your jail cell after it. The time to be dealing with that jail cell is before you got there. We will see you tomorrow night, brothers and sisters from around the world. And until next time, remember, black is the future. And the future, in case you didn't know this, is uncompromising.